I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart.
Dorothy was the last permanent non-Indigenous resident of the Boundary Waters.
And Dorothy is Dorothy Moulter, an icon of the Boundary Waters, sometimes known as the Root Beer Lady. She lived on an island in Knife Lake, about 30 miles from Ely, until her death in 1986. Her memory and legend endure at the Dorothy Moulter Museum in Ely, Minnesota, where I recently visited.
My name is Jess Edberg, and I'm the executive director here at the Dorothy Moulter Museum. And our museum is dedicated to preserving and interpreting Northwood's history through the story of Dorothy Moulter. So Dorothy Moulter moved up here from Chicago, Illinois. Like a lot of folks, came up here on a fishing vacation, fell in love with the environment, with where she was staying, which was the Isle of Pines Fishing Resort owned by Bill Berglund. That first visit was in 1930, and she came again the following year and started working at the resort in the summer, and then ended up moving up here year-round, renting a room in Winton during the off-season, until Bill Berglund gave Dorothy a business proposal of staying on the island year-round, helping him run the business, but also providing nursing care for him with his failing health. And what a lot of people don't know is Dorothy was actually a trained and registered nurse. And when she graduated nursing school and passed her board exams, she had trouble finding permanent year-round work because of the Great Depression. That helped her make the decision of moving to the Ely area and staying up here, and then ultimately staying here permanently. So at our museum, we have our main interpretive center, which is kind of the hub. It's where our gift shop is. We do have some small exhibits that we try to rotate. And we also have our root beer here. We work with a private brewer to produce a root beer product as closely resembling Dorothy's original root beer as we can, within, you know, FDA guidelines. The two cabins that you can go into currently are the winter cabin and the point cabin. They were both guest cabins, but Dorothy spent most of her time in the winter cabin. So we have a lot of her personal items, photographs, books, her root beer making equipment are in the winter cabin. The point cabin has its own standalone exhibit that is partnered with a 15-minute video, and that video features the life of Dorothy throughout the seasons. So in addition to those cabin exhibits, we also have a nature trail. We call it Dorothy's Discovery Trail, and it has interpretive signage along the way talking about Northwood's ecology and how Dorothy integrated into it. And we also have a dedicated bird feeding area. Because Dorothy had a passion for bird watching and feeding the birds, she was known to go through about 1,000 pounds of bird food annually, and we feed the birds year-round for the community to come and birdwatch.
So, what's all this about root beer?
You know, like many of the other resorts that existed in the area we now call the Boundary Waters, the resort owners would fly in supplies. When she took over after Bill Berglund's death in 1948, she would fly in supplies, and that included wooden crates of soda pop that came in glass bottles. So you can imagine how heavy each crate might be. And shortly after, in 1949, President Truman issued an executive order banning all flights below 4,000 feet in the roadless area, which is what it was referred to. And of course, if you're a business owner and you have to make a decision on what supplies you are going to fly in and you're not, and you're going to portage over four portages or five portages over about 12, 13 miles, wooden crates of glass bottled soda pop are probably going to be first on the list to get marked off. And so she didn't have pop available for guests for several years. Sometime in the early 50s, we don't know exactly when, the idea of repurposing those glass bottles with homemade soda pop came to mind. And so she found a very basic homebrew recipe for root beer. She used syrup from the local A&W restaurant in Ely, sugar and yeast from the grocery stores, and started making her own root beer with Knife Lake water. Over time, her popularity grew as the Root Beer Lady, because who thinks there's going to be a woman in the middle of the wilderness that has ice-cold root beer for sale when you're on a canoe trip for 2 weeks. So, yeah, she got the reputation of the root beer lady because of that.
While paddling the Boundary Waters with friends in the early 70s, I stopped to meet Dorothy and sample some of her famous root beer. Jess asked me what I thought of Dorothy's brew.
I always put it this way, and because it's like, okay, what's probably the best root beer in the world? Probably not, but when you've been out paddling the lakes for a week and you come in and it's ice cold and it's something different, it was like, it was fabulous.
Exactly. And that's the most common response we get when we ask people that had actually tasted her root beer. And it varies widely depending on when on the canoe trip people had it, how recently she had made it, because when you use yeast as the main source of carbonation for any homebrew, it takes a while to produce that carbonation with fermentation. And she got so busy that the last 10 years of her life, she was bottling 11 to 12,000 bottles a season. So in the busy months of especially July and August, she might make a brew and then have to sell it the next day. And you could imagine, you know, the root beer flavored lake water with a little bit of yeast probably wasn't the most delicious beverage. Yeah. So we get all ends of the spectrum. But the most common is when you're on a canoe trip for a week or more and you have an opportunity for something other than lake water, it's always good. You know, it's an experience that you have too, to stop at the root beer ladies. So it's, for some folks, it isn't necessarily that the root beer was good or bad. It was that they got to meet the root beer lady. So many people connected with Dorothy through the root beer, and the product isn't just a beverage. It's a whole legacy of Dorothy Moulter. And so it's kind of the gateway of Dorothy Moulter is to get the root beer, and then you find out there's this whole story about this woman that is rich.
When I think of Dorothy Moulter living on her Knife Lake Island, isolation and remoteness are some of the first things that come to mind. But she generally have over 6,000 visitors stopping by for root beer and conversation each year, which could lead to some unexpected complications.
If you wanted to go out there today, if we left right now, we could probably get to Knife Lake by late afternoon, early evening, if the wind is at our back. Dorothy, when she would come and go, she had a square stern aluminum canoe with a motor, so she could go a little quicker, but in the winter time it wasn't uncommon for her to snowshoe into town, or at least to Moose Lake Landing. And it's estimated a snowshoe back to Moose Lake Landing might take 8 to 12 hours depending on conditions. At the same time, she did make a comment about how if she really needed privacy to take a bath, she would have to do it at 2 in the morning because there were so many people coming by. She just really didn't have that luxury of privacy.
Dorothy's self-reliance and independence was remarkable and still provides inspiration to many 30 years after her death.
She provides inspiration to a lot of our visitors, and I've observed over the years a lot of our young women that come here and see Dorothy as being, you know, born during a time in our American history that women didn't have a lot of options. There weren't a lot of freedoms that women had. Women's right to vote happened when Dorothy was in her teenage years. The changing from, you know, the late Victorian era to more of a liberal area for women to wear different clothing and express themselves more and actually have meaningful careers outside of a family. It's easy to look back and say, wow, all of these things probably influenced Dorothy to be the woman who she was, but she also had a lot of adversity she had to face too. And so having that confidence and being an independent thinker was really beneficial for her, because, you know, going to nursing school rather than settling down was really different. And then even after nursing school, not settling down was against the grain. And then coming and working in a wilderness in northern Minnesota, eventually becoming the sole owner proprietor of a wilderness resort that was 30 miles from the nearest town, not married, never had children. she had to deal with people that thought it was strange or thought it was inappropriate. And today, even going around the area, if you talk to people that were here during that time, there were a lot of rumors about Dorothy because it was hard to wrap your head around the fact that she was an unmarried businesswoman living in a wilderness area. So how do you reconcile that with the current social norms? Is you have to come up with a reason why she's doing it. And so there were some rumors about her that probably didn't feel good, but she persevered. And she basically, you know, you work hard and you be nice. And that's kind of how she lived her life.
For Northern Community Radio, I'm Grant Fraser, and this is Close to Home.